What does a blessed life look like? The world tells us one thing about what it means to be blessed. If you ask people what it looks like to be blessed, Pastor James Meehan, he suggests we might hear a few things. Like, being blessed is being able to buy whatever you want. Like being blessed, winning the lottery, ooh, I'm blessed. Or maybe it's sports betting today, hitting the big bet. Ooh, what a blessing. Or being powerful enough to get what you want. You know, being number one. You're in your field, in your job, maybe in your division. Maybe it's being the number one nation. Being blessed. Or maybe it's being famous so everybody knows you. You know, to be an influencer in this day is to have some kind of power and be able to say things that people hang on. Every word. Or blessed are those who are successful because, let's face it, they're winning at life. And winning is everything. But I began to see cracks in that message. It's a powerful message that the world gives us. But even in the idea of sports and winning, I'm hearing some new pushback. It's interesting, about taking back sports again, you know, making it fun. And we might ask, well, when did it stop being fun? I want to share a different perspective with you than what the world shares, which is at the title of this message in Matthew chapter 5. It shows us what being blessed really looks like, and it is how God sees it. In the kids' message today, Katie shared that Jesus is always right. It's interesting because what Jesus says actually feels a little upside down. So would you like to experience blessing from above? I'm guessing that's why we're here today or listening online, that you want to be in God's blessing. You want God's favor in your life. The world tells us one thing about being blessed, but the Word tells us something very different. So let me ask you a question. Think about this one for a moment. I'm going to give you a little time. What makes you happy? Think about that. What makes you filled with an inner joy? What makes you happy? I hope you land on something so far. And I'm not trying to say what makes you happy is right or wrong here. What I'm trying to invite us is to explore a little bit about what being blessed in the kingdom of heaven actually looks like. So does your answer, what makes you happy, think about that, what makes you happy, does it sound more like the world's sense of happy? Or does it sound more like what Jesus teaches in the Beatitudes here when he says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing what's right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. These words come from Jesus' first speech that he delivered in the New Testament. It's called Sermon on the Mount. You've probably heard about it, maybe. It's what life in the kingdom of God really looks like when it begins to take root in your life. So in a couple of statements, you can see how contrary these are to the way we normally think and what the world normally teaches us. And I think Jesus quickly challenges us to wrestle with these and take a hold of these upside-down principles of the kingdom of God. So I want to ask you, have you ever in your life hung upside down on the monkey bars at school or on a playground? It kind of gives you a completely different look at life. I tried that. When you hang upside down, the sky is no longer on top. You begin to see the ground and the white and the ice and becomes your view. It changes your perspective on things. And I think that's how these Beatitudes are. I wasn't sure I could still get up there and hang upside down, but I found out I could. You see, I didn't dare let go. And then I had to figure out how to get down. So not suggesting maybe you try this and turn upside down, but think about how these principles kind of disorient you and make you feel a little dizzy. After hanging up for upside down for 10 seconds, I was disoriented and dizzy. I think if you're young and you're listening to these teachings, maybe first time, maybe just beginning, coming familiar with them, I want to encourage you to begin to take hold of these principles, because it won't be long when the world starts to tell you that the principles of the kingdom of heaven are impractical, or they're irrational, or they're impossible, or they're irresponsible. But Jesus is never wrong. And as a Jesus follower, you're actually different. You're part of something different. Like hanging upside down, these make you feel a little disoriented, but that's the point. Jesus is showing us what this new in-breaking reality is all about, and it arrives with him. So Jesus turns our perspective of the world on its end to show us how God sees it. So that's what we'll be looking at over the next several weeks as we go through the principles of the Beatitudes in the kingdom of heaven, what God's favor and blessing looks like. So in the Bible, being blessed means to be favored by God. That means there's a sense of being happy. You know, God favors me. So yeah, I have this joy, happiness about it. But there's also a future element to it. It's like the happiness is beginning, but it's going to be fulfilled in a time coming when the kingdom of heaven is fully established. So even though the recipients of the kingdom are now poor, they are blessed in this unfolding kingdom because, let's read it, Matthew 5, 1 through 3. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed because of what's coming. The crowds Jesus is talking to are poor. They have been under this sustained economic deprivation and distress under Roman rule. It's been bad, and they're destitute, they're discouraged, they're disheartened after years and years of the same hardships with no recourse except God, except to simply cry out to God. God is all they have. It's all that's left. And in Jesus, they see God doing something in the world that has only been talked about by the prophets for a long time. And that is the reason that they're blessed. The only one they have left is Jesus. He's their hope, and they're blessed because they have come to him. So what's the blessing? The whole kingdom of God. That's the blessing. That's the promise. It's a big one. To think that God is willing to share the whole kingdom, give the whole kingdom so that the blessed may enjoy it. It's amazing. It's a great reversal of fortune. And who does it all belong to, according to the Beatitudes? It is the poor in spirit. So who are they? Now be honest. Do you get this? Does it make sense? You might think, great, I'm going to align my life to this, and that sounds really good. And then you think, but how does that work? And I think it's the challenge. It's actually hard to grasp, I think, what Jesus is implying. And even when we're taking an alternative reading in the Gospel of Luke in this Beatitude, you know, this upside-down understanding, in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, it says, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." It's just not that obvious. How are the poor the blessed ones? I think most of us initially respond like the people that were gathered around Jesus. It's kind of like, blessed are the poor? I'm poor. I don't get it. I'm not happy. I'm not blessed. But the crowd, they keep listening. Why? Because there's something in Jesus that is stirring a hope that has long been dormant. They're beginning to see something that has never been seen, the kingdom of God breaking in. People are being changed and healed around them, And they're seeing things that only God can do. And they're seeking the hope that he brings. So this is what I want to challenge with you today. Don't dismiss something just because you don't quite understand it. Jesus is never wrong. I think we have a tendency to do that often. When we don't quite understand something, we shelf it. We set it aside in our minds. You know, we hear it, we embrace it, we think that's great, but then we think about trying to put that into practice. It doesn't really align up with how we see the world, and so we just kind of like put it on the shelf until we hear it again, and then we think, oh, that sounds so good. I want to embrace that. That's really hopeful. Those are really beautiful words, but then again, we don't know what to do with it, so it goes back on the shelf. We have a closet down in the basement. It's kind of like that shelf. In it, there are things that, you know, we use from time to time. We go in, dig around, eventually find it, take it out, use it, and then it doesn't have a purpose in our daily lives, so then we carry it back down, stuff it in the shelf to try to pull it out and find it later on sometime when we need it. I think sometimes these principles are like that in our lives. We shelve them because we just don't know what to do. The truth is, I think we're often conflicted about what really makes us happy. The world says upward mobility is how it's supposed to be. We work hard, we get promoted, we get a raise, our business does better. We somehow feel like we're being blessed. Not that that's all bad, but there must be more to life than that. More money seems good, more things might help, it makes us feel good. But this kind of makes us uncomfortable with passages like we hear in the Beatitude and some of Jesus' teachings. And we ask, you know, there must be more to life than this. Or how do we reconcile those who don't have what the world describes as those being blessed, and then Jesus says, those are the ones who are blessed in the kingdom. There must be more. And if we keep reading scripture, we read things like Jesus saying, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. And then he goes on to tell the story about a farmer who has these great abundant crops. And so he tears down his barns and builds new ones, and he ends up finding out that he's the fool because he dies and he can't enjoy his possessions. And Jesus ends with saying, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. The point seems to be that seeking wealth and privilege actually could be a spiritual disadvantage. Nobody tells us that. And poverty can be a blessing if it leads you to humbly follow Jesus. The point is simply this, not whether you're rich or poor, it's simply the blessing is in following Jesus. These passages teach us that we're not going to find happiness in selfishness or greed or pursuing personal material things. That might bring us other things, but it won't bring us the blessings that Jesus is talking about in the kingdom of heaven. So when you think about all the things that you pursue to make you happy, it begins to look like happiness is a little fickle and elusive, or at best it's circumstantial. Happy one moment, not happy the next. Could it be that while we think we're pursuing those things that bring us happiness, we're actually being drawn away from the spiritual blessings that we are seeking? So Jesus teaches that we're actually living on the outside of the kingdom instead of being positioned for blessing within it. So there's something more to this upside value than poverty and wealth. Again, the prophet Isaiah gives us a clue in chapter 61. He talks about what will happen when the Messiah ushers in the kingdom of God. Says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. This was preached long before Jesus came. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and a day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Pastor James Mahan, he shares that the Beatitudes, they're repeating the words that God had already said through the prophet Isaiah, and they're being fulfilled in Jesus as he announces this good news to the poor and the brokenhearted and the oppressed. So what does it mean to be blessed? How does God see it? Jesus shows us that the kingdom arrives with blessings where the least are most, the last are first, the lost are found. So let's go back again and take a deeper look and see if there's something that we have overlooked in these Beatitudes. So Jesus has been traveling the countryside. He's been teaching, preaching, healing, large crowds of people gathered. Who are these people? Well, if we look back in chapter 4, it says, news about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, the region across the Jordan, followed him. So these are people who are sick. They're suffering. They're diseased. They're demon-possessed. They're paralyzed. They have seizures. Not a group of people we would generally call blessed. Yeah. This is the condition of the people who are gathered around Jesus as he goes up on the mountain and he begins to teach. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These crowds probably didn't gather that day looking for a new spiritual condition for their hearts. They were just hoping for a life that didn't hurt so much. You ever feel like that? I don't know about all the other stuff, but I'm just hurting. I just need help. Jesus understood there was a far deeper desire lying dormant in every human heart, just waiting to be awakened. And Jesus goes way beyond being satisfied with mere happiness. Jesus invites this experience of what they may not have considered before, that being blessed comes from knowing and following Jesus. So here's the shift in perspective, I think, for me. Here's where we need to hang upside down on the monkey bars to see what God is revealing. Think about the people who first listened to this message. People who were financially and spiritually poor, desperate to hear the good news, what Jesus had to say. To live a blessed life, you and I need to be as spiritually poor as the people who came to Jesus then. You and I need to know exactly how much we need God. Truth is, you need God. You're completely dependent on God's favor and blessing. You might push back on that a little bit. I know in my life I have. The world tells us one thing about being blessed, but the Word says something different. I'm learning that the Beatitudes are a way of life every day, not just when I need them off the shelf. And it's the Holy Spirit who is continually shaping and forming my life into the likeness of Jesus. So the Beatitudes, they stand as this constant reminder of how life is in the kingdom of God and how it is coming to fulfillment in Jesus. So now, Jesus himself, he is our example of what it means to be dependent of God, on God. The Son of God shows us what it means to be dependent on God. If we go back in this gospel, we find out that after Jesus' baptism, he went into the wilderness for 40 days, and he was fasting, and he was hungry, and he was deprived, and the devil came to him and asked him to, tempted him to turn the stones into bread. He could have done that. He could have provided for himself, but he was totally dependent on God to provide for him. And now, like the crowds gathered around Jesus, with their hands out, calling on him, touch me, heal me, help me, have mercy on me, save me. That's how we are to be as we come before the Lord. It's that condition that Jesus says, you are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because God offers everything. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And everything beyond your wildest dreams, you get it all. So when you simply admit you have nothing but your need for Jesus, then we begin to understand what it means to be blessed. Mitchell Dillon writes, life has a way of flirting with us while never fully gratifying the deeper longings of our heart. So I invite you to ask yourself, in this first message of the series, consider this. Does how I'm living look like what Jesus calls blessed? So don't wait any longer. Jesus knows what your soul longs for, to follow him in the upside down kingdom of God and to be blessed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, today we come to you in need, recognizing, Lord, that we can't do this on our own. Lord, that we can't seek to make ourselves happy and expect to be blessed in the kingdom of heaven. That, Lord, the only way to receive that is with open arms calling out to you. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you trust in him, then I invite you to call on him today. Again, ask him, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, show me how to live the upside down life in the kingdom and begin to be blessed. And if you don't know Jesus, if you have never put your trust in him, then Jesus is calling out to you that the way of blessing is a life of trusting him and following him. The kingdom of heaven awaits for all those who call out to him. So I invite you to maybe do that if you're ready today with a simple prayer. Something like this. Dear Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. Take away my sins and fill me with your spirit. Show me how to walk in your kingdom that I may receive your blessing. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.